A measure in the state legislature is seeking to make home ownership possible for Hawaii residents who've been priced out of the market. It aims to build condos in Honolulu's urban core that would sell for about $300,000. As HPR's Ryan Finnerty tells us, the plan draws inspiration from one of our Asia-Pacific neighbors, Singapore.
More than 80% of Singapore's population lives in a public housing unit. That works out to be around 4.5 million people. The island nation's expansive public housing program is run by a government agency called the Housing Development Board, or HDB.
The housing program began actually after the Second World War.
That's Ho Chi Tim, a Singaporean historian and a graduate of UH Manoa. He says as Singapore began decolonizing, the national government viewed the creation of public housing as an essential service.
The Housing Development Board itself began in 1960. It was a reaction to a fast increasing population in Singapore. It was increasing faster than homes were being built. So there were plenty of dangers or at that point in time, because homes were mostly like what we call attap houses, or houses built out of very flammable materials like wood, natural materials. So There were a few fires, and almost every other year during the 50s, there would be a big fire and tens of thousands of people would be homeless. So when the HDB first came up, it was meant to quickly house all these people who were affected or made homeless by natural disasters like fires.
Over the following decades, the HDB began building entire communities, anchored by amenities like food markets and public transportation.
So in each estate or each town, there'll be your apartment block, there'll be markets, there'll be infrastructure, there'll be accessible transport. And for time, those estates would also have, industries or light industries built nearby. So people could go to work without traveling too far. So like self-contained towns.
These days, HBD flats are squarely targeted at the middle class. Developments often include gardens and community playgrounds for children. In the world's third most densely populated country, a two-bedroom apartment on the resale market costs less than $300,000 in all listed neighborhoods. New HBD flats are sold under 99-year leases with no extension for a resale. That's the model one Hawaii lawmaker is seeking to replicate.
I think it's important that if we're going to try to solve a problem, that we go to successful examples of where that problem has been solved.
That's Stanley Chang. He represents the area from Diamond Head to Hawaii Kai in the state Senate. His proposal is called Affordable Locally Owned Homes for All, or Aloha Homes. Chang chose the Singapore program as his model after learning that the island country is able to house a population 5 times greater than Oahu's in an area about half the size.
My aim is not just to make marginal improvements, but actually to try to solve the housing shortage. And so we're proposing a strategy that has worked in Singapore to provide abundant, affordable housing by developing state-owned lands near rail stations with high-density units that would then be sold at cost with no taxpayer subsidy to Hawaii residents who own no other real property and who will be owner-occupants.
Those units would be sold on 99-year leases. Owners would not be able to rent out the property. The units could be passed down to children, but ownership would revert to the state at the end of the lease period. 75% of any profits made by reselling a unit would go to state tax authorities. Under Chang's plan, no recurring public funding would be required. He estimates that the state could recoup the construction costs by selling Aloha homes for around $300,000 per unit. But the proposal has generated some skepticism in the community.
This bill does not address the root causes of why we lack housing and why housing costs so much.
Keili'i Akina is the president and CEO of the Grassroot Institute, a conservative-leaning local think tank. He says a better option would be to open up more land for development.
Now, everybody thinks land is absolutely scarce in Hawaii, which is simply not the case. You know, studies show that we only develop on 5% of the land. That means 95% of all land mass is either preserved for preservation purposes, the environment and so forth, or for agriculture. Now, what would happen if you developed on just 1% more? You went from 5% to 6%. You'd increase the available land by 20%, and do the math there in terms of supply and demand. you would have a reason to bring the actual cost of housing down. And the real problem is that the government, through a maze of regulatory laws and rules, creates an artificial scarcity. And that's what makes it unaffordable to have housing in Hawaii.
Akina also has concerns about the 99-year lease period. He says that returning properties to the state, rather than allowing them to stay in the family longer, prevents Hawaii residents from accumulating generational wealth. But some business advocates have embraced the idea. The Hawaii Chamber of Commerce supported the Aloha Homes bill at the state capitol. Sherry Menor McNamara is the president and CEO of the chamber.
I think, again, we can all agree that the lack of housing impacts our working families and small businesses that employ them. And housing affordability creates pressure to increase wages. And because of that, increasing the supply of housing should alleviate some of that affordability pressure.
The construction of units for purchase marks a change from recent affordable housing policy, which has focused more on affordable rentals. But Connie Mitchell with the Institute for Human Services says that isn't necessarily a bad thing.
In the social service sector, we've been really focusing on having enough rentals for folks who are making below 50% of area median income. But the fact is that when you create more housing for others in the whole spectrum, you then have people moving up into other housing and you make room for more people on the lower end. The other thing is that the folks that would be able to afford them are people that we really need to stay in Hawaii, and we've been having trouble because many of them have been leaving to live on the continent, and it's really important that people be able to purchase a home, to put roots down in the community, and be more a part of the community long term. You know, we cannot keep losing people to the mainland.
The Aloha Homes proposal comes with some uncertainties. There isn't a specific plan for enforcing the occupancy requirement, although Senator Chang has some ideas about using biometric scanners to verify who is living in a unit. It's also unclear whether any private developers would be willing to take on the projects with the slim profit margins needed to keep the units affordable. Senator Chang believes developers will be able to achieve sufficient profits through scale. He wants to build at least 6,000 new units every year. It's estimated that Hawaii will need up to 65,000 new housing units by 2025. I'm Ryan Finnerty for The Conversation.
Mahalo, Ryan. We'll have links to more information on the Aloha Homes proposal, including a video walkthrough of a public housing flat in Singapore. It'll be posted with this story at hawaiipublicradio.org. This is The Conversation. I'm Noe Tanigawa.